Our first scripture reading for this morning is going to come from Acts. Actually, I'm going to be reading two portions in the book of Acts. I'm going to begin with chapter 2 of the book of Acts, verse 37, and read through verse 42. And then we're going to skip over and read Acts chapter 4, 32 through 35. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. The chapter 2 reading, verse 37, is on page 949 of your pew Bible. So let us listen to God's word for us. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized in every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." And he testified with many other words and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and those were added, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. In chapter 4, verses 32 through 35, again, let us listen to God's word for us. "Now the company of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of what was sold, and laid it at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to each as they had need." Our second scripture reading will come from the Gospel of John. We'll be reading chapter 20 of John's Gospel, verses 19 through 31. Again, let us listen to God's word for us. "On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' When he had said this, he showed them the hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained.' Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and the place, and place my finger in the mark of the nails, and place my hand in his side, I will not believe.' 8 days later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. The doors were shut, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not be faithless, but believing.' Thomas answered him, 'My Lord and my God.' And Jesus said to him, 'Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe.' Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Eternal God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Many of you are aware that I am from Missouri, which is has the motto of the Show Me State. I was born and raised in the Show Me State. And one of the things that we Missourians are proud of is our doubt. We don't necessarily doubt the Word of God, of course. Missouri is a part of the Bible Belt, and that's one of the things that they'll quickly let you know, that we are a part of the Bible Belt. But we are in Missouri skeptical of almost anything else. I remember when I was 9 years old, it was after the lunar landing, the first time that human beings, we Americans, walked on the moon, and there was an elderly lady who lived near the park where we used to play, and she totally refused to believe that human beings could actually walk on the moon. That notable technological achievement totally disrupted her worldview. I remember telling her that all she had to do was ask my teacher, as the major authority that I knew, ask my teacher, Miss Lane, and she'll tell you that human beings could walk on the moon. We actually did it. And she refused to want to listen to Miss Lane. Then I told her that all she had to do was watch the television and the news. I saw it on the news that human beings had actually walked on the moon, and she still refused to believe that, too. In fact, she said she didn't believe that human beings could even fly. And I said, of course they can fly. My uncle works at the airport. He sees planes coming in all the time. And she said, how do you know that? And I said, because he told me. And she said, well, I don't believe it. And so she refused to believe that human beings could fly or even go to the moon. Maybe she was a descendant of Thomas in our gospel reading this morning. Thomas was not there on that first Easter evening when the resurrected Jesus presented himself to the other disciples in the upper room. We don't know where Thomas was at or why he wasn't with the other disciples, hiding behind locked doors, fearfully contemplating when they might be able to get out of town. All we know is that Thomas missed it. He missed Jesus walking through the locked doors. He missed Jesus coming in saying, "Peace be with you." He missed having the Holy Spirit blown all over him. He missed it. And that's what happens to you, of course, when you don't come to church. You miss things. I hear people say all the time that they don't need to come to church to be able to worship God. But you do need to be able to come to the body to experience the presence of the Lord, because it's in the body that the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ is with us. And so Thomas was absent on that first Easter day. And so Thomas missed being able to experience the presence of the resurrected Lord. So when the other disciples tell Thomas the good news that they have seen the Lord, Thomas simply refuses to believe them. He doubts what they are telling him. Thomas says, I won't believe it until I'm able to put my own hands in Jesus' hands. When I'm able to feel the wounds in his hands and in his side, that's the only way that I'm going to be able to believe that Jesus Christ has indeed come back from the dead. Thomas has often been castigated down through the centuries for being weak in his faith, but that critique is somewhat unfair. Earlier in John's gospel, when Jesus tells his disciples that he's going to go to Bethany, the other disciples say, why you want to go there? That's almost a certain death sentence. They're going to kill you there. That's what they want to do. But it's Thomas who says, let us too go there with him so that we might die with him. There's nothing weak about Thomas's faith there. But that was before Good Friday. Now it is Easter, and the rest of the disciples have told Thomas that we have seen the Lord. But Thomas doubts them. Thomas cannot believe that. Thomas knows that the power of death in this world is quite strong, and so Thomas refuses to believe that. When you're dead, you're dead. And so Thomas says, before I believe that, you're going to have to show me. It is often said but it is worth repeating here this morning. The doubt is not the opposite of faith. There have been many heroes of the faith down through the ages who have had their moments of doubt. The truth is that we all struggle with our doubts. We all have trouble believing in the power of the resurrection. We all have trouble believing that the forces and powers of death in our world really have been broken. We struggle with that. We find it hard to believe that Jesus Christ has defeated the forces and the powers of death. We're all like that father in Mark's gospel who comes to Jesus and says, "I believe, but help my unbelief. I want to believe. I want to believe in the power of the resurrection. I want to believe that Jesus Christ has defeated the powers of death. I want to begin to live my life in a way that shows that I've been set free from the powers of death. I want to believe that, but please help my unbelief." We all have problems believing in the power of the resurrection. From one perspective, the opposite of faith is not doubt, but it is fear. It is our fears that keep us clinging to the idols of the world. We human beings know that we are going to die, and it's because we're anxious about that and fearful about that that we cling to the idols of the world. The idols of the world is where we believe that we can fortify our lives. And so the power of death tells us, don't trust in God. Don't believe in God. Trust in the idols of the world. Don't believe in God. You can't trust God. Put your trust in money. That can help you. Put your trust in class, that can help you. Put your trust in anything, but don't put your trust in God. It is our fear that prevents us from having faith and from living faithfully. The powers of death tell us to eat and drink and be merry because tomorrow we're going to die. And we sometimes listen to the powers of death and allow ourselves to be swayed by the forces and the powers of death because we're not quite sure that we can really trust God. From another perspective, the opposite of faith is our certainty. One of the things that I'm intrigued by in reading the gospel narratives is the fact that people who did not trust Jesus is the ones who were certain that they understood the mind of God. They're the ones who were so certain of the will of God in their lives that they would even kill Jesus. So sometimes it's certainty, our certainty that we know the mind and the will of God that prevents us from living faithfully and following the Lord Jesus Christ. But all that Thomas wants in our text this morning is for someone to show him. He wants someone to show him the resurrected Jesus. All he wants to do is to be able to see and experience what the other disciples, including Mary, have seen and experienced. He wants to see with his own eyes, and he wants to touch with his own hands the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. If somebody will just show me, then I'll believe it. All I want to do is see it, then I'll believe it. Of course, Thomas gets his wish. A week later, Jesus once again comes to his disciples in the upper room, and this time Thomas is present. Jesus allows Thomas to touch his wounds. "Put your finger here, Thomas, and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, Thomas, but believe. Do not doubt, but put your faith and trust in me." And Thomas does believe, and he responds, "My Lord and my God." And then Jesus chastises Thomas a little bit. Jesus says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." That was meant for you and me, of course. We have not seen the resurrected Jesus. We have not been able to do what Thomas did. We have not been able to put our hands in his wounds and feel his wounds. We have not been able to do that. But we believe. And we are called blessed because we believe, without having been able to experience the experiences of Thomas and Mary and the rest of the disciples. But still, We live in a day and an age where there is a Missouri. We still live in a world where people say, show me the resurrection power. Show me the proof of the resurrection. I'm not going to believe it until I'm able to see it and experience it for myself. Show me the power of the resurrection. That's the only way I'm going to believe it. But how are we going to be able to show them? How are we going to be able to help people believe? We can't just proclaim that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. We can do that, but people are not likely to believe that. It's going to disrupt their whole worldview. Just like that lady didn't believe or refused to believe that human beings have walked in the moon. We can't simply repair to our authorities. We can't simply say, read the Bible, it'll tell you all about it. Because people still won't be impressed by the Bible. They simply will not believe it. So how are they going to believe? How are we going to help them believe? Well, the only way they're going to believe in the power of the resurrection is when they see it and experience it through you and me, through us together, in our collective life together. They'll only be able to see it and experience it in the way that we live our lives. We are, of course, the body of Christ in the world. We are the community that has the Spirit of Christ. In the book of Acts that we read this morning, we are given a vision of the early church and how the early church lived their lives. The text says that they were all one. They were all one in the Spirit. There was no divisions among them, but they were all one. And in a world where we are often divided by all kinds of things, in a world where we're often divided by race, where we're often divided by class, where we're often divided by ethnicity, where we're divided by a whole lot of things, the fact that they were all one gave testament to the power of the resurrection. The text says they were all one. The text says that they listened to the apostles and subjected themselves to the teaching of the apostles. They all listened to the teaching of the apostles, and they all prayed together. They prayed together, they broke bread together, they shared what they had with one another. They were all one, and they were able to do that through the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the resurrection. Great grace, we are told, was upon them all, and the Lord added daily to their number. It was how they lived their life that they were able to convince the world in the resurrection power that it came upon them. It is how they lived their lives that people said, there's a power operating in that group of people. I don't know what it is, but it must be a power that can raise the dead. There's a power operating in those people. I don't know what it is, but in a world that is divided, they're unified. There's a power operating in those people. I don't know what it is, but in a world where we are encouraged to hold on to what we have, they are sharing what they have. There's a power operating in those people. I can't put my finger on it exactly, but in a world where we're constantly hoarding and going out and trying to increase our possessions, they were giving their possessions and sharing what they had. That power is the resurrection power. And I'm sure those early Christians had their faults. I'm sure they had their pettiness. I'm sure they had their difficult personalities among them. I'm sure they had their petty quarrels. You know, the kind of thing that we often find in the church. They had those things, I'm sure. But they were able to rise to the occasion. They were able to become the Easter church. They were able to become that Easter people. They were able, through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to become that resurrection community that bore witness to the power of the resurrection, not by what they said, but by how they lived their lives. We continue to be that resurrection community today. Every time we see Christians going out of their way to respond to the needs of the world, that resurrection power is in evidence. Every time we see groups like the Gideons who go out and take the time to share the word and give Bibles and to those who are in need, we see the power of the resurrection. Every time we come together and we break bread with one another, every time we care for the children who come in to our midst, every time we share our resources with one another, we are proclaiming the power of the resurrection in our midst. The world is not going to believe what we say absent the way we live. We can proclaim it all we want to, but if we, as the body of Christ, are divided, we say that the forces and powers of death have the last word. If we who say that we are in Christ are not forgiving, we say that the forces and powers of death have the last word. If we allow the pettiness to overcome us, what we're saying is that the forces and powers of death have the last word, but we know that they don't. We know that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. We know the power of the resurrection is operating in our own midst. We know that the power of the Holy Spirit is in our hearts and in our community, and it's that power that allows us to go out into the midst of the world to proclaim that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And when we do that right, when we do that right, people will want to join us because people are looking for something. People are thirsting for another way to live. They've understood the way the world is. They experience the way the world is. They know the darkness of the world all around them. And they're looking for another way of living. They're looking for something more authentic. They're looking to feel that place that God has placed in all of our hearts, that seek us, to keep us longing after God. They're looking for that. And when they see it among us, it's attractive to them, and they want to be a part of it. They want to live that way. We are that resurrection community. We are that Easter community. We are the arms of the Lord that embraces. We are the hands of the Lord that heals. We are the voice of the Lord who calls. We are the feet of the Lord who gets up and goes wherever people are hungry and tired and thirsty, wherever people need to be comforted. We are the body of Christ in the world. We are that Easter community who's called to proclaim the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ by how we live our lives. May we continue to live in the manner that shouts to the whole world, "My Lord and my God, I have seen the Lord. We have seen the Lord," because his presence is in our midst. And so we shall forever be with the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for your resurrection power in our midst. We give you thanks for this congregation and for the resurrection power that is displayed here on a daily and weekly basis. We ask that you help us to continue to proclaim the good news of the resurrection through our ministries here. Help us to proclaim it in our breaking of the bread with one another. Help us to proclaim it in our love for one another, in our love for those in this community, in our love for those who come in through these doors. Help us to be that Easter people that you have called us to be. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.